is, Lord. Before I get to touch the dream and take us into the Word of God, I'd like just to express gratitude. It is a privilege to be here. I hope it's not like a type of greeting. I do mean it. I'm very privileged to be here. I'm very privileged that we can be part of what God is doing. I don't really know where else I should be or could be. Perhaps I have a lot of ideas where I could be, but I don't want to be there. And it's not just to be in the States. I do believe that this is a significant conference here in Texas. It is not the last one. It is definitely not the last thing God is going to do here. And when I heard about, you know, I hear about different conferences and places, and I pray and say, God, is this the time? Is this, you know, is this for me? Should I go? And when I heard about this idea being formed, shouldn't we have a conference here? It's like I didn't need to pray, I didn't need to think about it. Like the Spirit in me said, go. Go and support it. Just if I would come and just be here by saying, yes, I am in, count me in. Because I believe that there has been a season of assembling maybe? Falling apart, if you want. But I would call it sifting, maybe, in a positive sense. And this seems like it's like a new sprout, isn't it? Like new sprout in the work of the Lord. Sprout is a good word. You look at me confused. Huh? Sprout is route, right? No, it's like a sprout. It's like a new sprout. It's like something you come and see green. I hear myself too much. I don't know what it is. But, you know, it's for me, I believe God is going to do something special here. And I'm privileged and honored I can be part of it. So that's another reason why I'm privileged and why I'm thankful to be here. And please be aware of it. Don't take it for granted. And the other thing is, and again, don't take it for granted. You know, for me, it always means a lot to come here. And see you people, because you've done some walking, you know, and you are handing over, not that you would not be keeping it, but you are handing over, you know, things that you have overcome and you have received, and you are handing it over to us. And it's always a little bit emotional, it's always a little bit touchy to come and see these faithful brethren. I don't know how you see yourself, but I would like to tell you that we hold you very dear. We hold you very dear, observing you and watching you walk. You've been part of our lives, and we are here because of the Lord, but we are here also because of you, many, many of you. So thank you very much, and we appreciate even the things that are maybe so, I would say, taken for granted, like this cable here. You know, I'm always touched by Gordon and people like this, that quietly in a corner, things are done, board is in place, and things like this. Please, please, let's not take it for granted. Amen? Let's go back to this dream, and forgive me of this introduction. Let's go back to this dream. I believe God wants to take the battle deeper. He wants us to go deeper because this is where our problem is. I almost hesitate to interpret a dream because I think it's self-explanatory, but let me comment on it a bit. We know the hand of the Lord is the word of God as well as the working of God. Amen. And he would reach, and the belly would represent the inner parts. If you want, we can talk about belly, we can talk about heart, we can talk about soul. But definitely, is going deep. It's going inside. God is not ready to deal with us on surface. He wants to go deep. He wants to go to the core. And I'm glad that she mentioned the umbilical cord, because the umbilical cord has a meaning. It's not only the size of it or the way of it, but it's the umbilical cord means its attachment. It's attachment to the previous. Amen? It's attachment to the previous generation. It's attachment to the mother. It's attachment to all the mothers and fathers which were there. And God reached into his belly, and he pulled out the black part. And that's the original sin. We are born, and our DNA, if you wish, our core, who we are, is evil. Yeah. We might not like it, because the babies, they look so sweet, you know, and so on. If you do something about them, they keep looking sweet. If you don't, very soon they stop looking sweet, and they do manifest the very core of their nature, which is evil. God says that in their hearts every thought was evil continual, wasn't it? So God needs to reach in, and he needs to do something about it. God is not asking us that we would change our behavior as such, on the outward appearance. Okay, he wants to come in and change the nature of us. And then when he deals with the Adamic nature, when he deals with who we are, because we are people, because we have submitted ourselves to the devil, we became like devil. Amen. Evil in the nature. Selfish in the nature, self-centered in the nature. Then he comes in again and says, well, not only Adam submitted to the devil, but your fathers and forefathers. Amen? And he says, I need to deal with who you are, not as a human, but as castle. And we do know that this dream is not talking only about you, and yes, it's talking about you, but it's talking about me, and it's talking about whoever wants to take it. Amen? And it's talking about castle, it's talking about Cluson, it's talking about whoever you are. And God says, I need to deal and remove from you who you are, your nature, your nation. Amen? Yeah. And then, when he does this, and I believe God is not giving this dream as a history, just to tell us, well done. He's telling us, I still have business to do. And when this is done, then God reaches out, and what comes out as a result is pure stream, is the nature of God. And he says, because I have cleansed you, because I have dealt with your inner parts, you're holy. You don't need to be washed again. Like Peter had an idea, Lord, if you want to wash my feet, wash the whole thing. And Lord said, no need, Peter. You are already clean because of the word I have given you. But I do need to wash your feet. So sin no more. We need to maintain our walk. We need to walk. But I'll get into it in a little more detail, I believe, in a minute. What God is telling us is that he wants to deal with our inner parts. He wants to remove something from our DNA. And that's the difficult part, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Because there are certain things we, perhaps even in our own strength, would be able to give up. Take smoking. Some people, without God, you know, they realize it's killing them, so they give it up. But then, there are certain things you can't give up, because it's you. But this is what God is not only requiring, but he's offering. Not only offering, but he's requiring. Amen? So, I've been recently meditating and praying, you know, and I tell you a secret. People sometimes they are asking me and say, you know, why are you talking about me when I preach? Why are you talking about me? Why are you picking on me? You don't know why? Because I'm talking about me. You know, when I never search for Word of God. I never seek, what should I preach? You know, I seek, Lord, I need help. I need your word. And then when he talks to me, I hope that it might be good for you as well. So I'm going to talk about me. And maybe then you can pray for me. Because I'm asking Lord, and I've got the situation with me, okay? And if this is not relevant, forgive me. But my problem is, I want to do good. It's my decision. It's my mindset. I love righteousness. I want to do righteousness. I want to be holy. It's my decision. I made up my mind to go on. Amen. I made up my mind to pay the price. So I made up my mind, whatever it is, 25, whatever years back, you know, I want to be like God is. Now, then I face the reality. Yeah. And I'm not there. And it's not that I'm hesitating. It's not that I'm thinking whether I should be. I am not. I made up my mind. I am not there. And I said, God, what is holding me back? What is the key? What is the situation? Amen. So this is my question. Maybe it's not yours. And you say, come on, Martin, sit down. We're already there. Rebuke me then. But the idea is, Lord, there's something I need to change. There's something in me. And I was searching. I said, God, what is the thing and what can I do? And the Lord started to talk to me about my heart. And I said, well, actually, I don't even know what heart is. I have a pretty good understanding about soul. You know, we've talked about soul a lot. You know, what a soul consists of. If you look at it, it's like a... We know the soul. Amen. And I know the soul is mind. It's the way I think, it's my emotions, it's my desires, and it's my will. Yet, it seems there's something even more core, if you want. Something even more of a substance, something which is forming me as a personality, as a person. And when I looked in the Bible and I said, God, what is it? It's like the Lord showed me it's the heart. And I could perhaps make a heart around the soul, but I'll make it around. And it's a heart. And I was looking into the word, what the heart really is. And I'll take you to a few scriptures. Not everything you need to read necessarily, but I understand the heart being the core of us. If you say something is in heart, it's in the very core. Even a scripture says in Matthew 12:40, it says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." How is it related? Well, it's talking about the heart of the earth. It's talking about the core. It's like surface is the opposite of heart. And heart is the opposite of surface, if you know what I mean. So, the heart is actually what is inside. What is hidden. And where everything, every thought, every issue of life, if you want, is coming. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it there are issues of life." So I know, it's like, it's a stream, it's a source, source, I suppose, of everything you are. So the heart, and I would use maybe another word, DNA. It is who I am. It's my convictions. It's my beliefs. It's my makeup. Amen? And now, this is where my struggle is. When you struggle with sin, or you struggle with character, my question is, what do I really believe? What is my conviction? You know, I see this picture, and this picture is Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. And he said, I don't know the English word, it's like you are the white tombs or
sepulchres.
White sepulchres. Okay. And what it is that you can, on a surface, you can be holy. You can be tithing, you can come to church, you can have a good dress, you can be good looking, you can be smiling, you can be doing all the right things, and you can do praises, and you can learn the songs, and you can shake hands, and you can do, wash the dishes, or it's easy here, this conference, do the dishes. But whatever you want to do, you can do, and seemingly, you have it. But God says, the problem is in your heart. The problem is down there. The problem is who you are. The problem is who your mother is. The problem is who your father is. The problem is who your grandfather is and who your grandmother is. And the problem is that you are Americans and Czech and Africans and Germans and whoever you are. And, the question is, why am I doing things? To look good? To look Christian? Or because it's my conviction? You know, you see some people who are in our midst, and then they are not in our midst next day. And not only they are not in our midst, they would form a fellowship, you know. But then you observe them and you realize how so many things they were doing were not their convictions. Take basic things like Christmas. You know? We don't celebrate Christmas, right, because we are part of this group. And it would look stupid if I have at home, this little thing. You know, so we don't have it. You know. When we move outside of the circle for a reason or two, let's go back to Christmas. For me, it means we never understood it.
Right.
We never have this conviction. It's not in our heart. We do it because we are supposed to be doing it. And we don't really know why. I'm not convicted. I don't really understand it. I don't really know why I'm supposed to be doing it. And by the way, one of the dangers is with the next generation. Because us, we were born, again, we have fought it for it.
Yes.
You know, my parents were telling me, go and sin.
Yeah.
I had an idea to find a wife. You know, and form relationship first before I marry her first before I form, you know, intimate relationship. And I'm presenting it to my mother. And you mothers would be pleased, but my mother said, that's crazy. You need to try out first few and then see, you know. Seriously, my mother was encouraging me this way. I had to fight my way through. I had to fight my way, you know, and resist it and reject it. And by God's mercy, we overcame. But the next generation, they do it because they are in our midst. And that's what they believe that we should be doing. Is it their conviction, really? And this is my worry. And this is one of my things. That God, what do I do to help them to have their own convictions? Not because daddy says so. I don't want them to leave the house. You know, and hit the TV button, and hit this, and hit this, and hit this. Now we can.
Right.
You know. So I'm asking God, one thing is what we are doing. The other thing is who we are. There are certain things, and I take it as an example. Forgive me. For me, it's basic. For somebody, it might be a big battle. But for me, a couple things are basic. I always take, like, drugs or homosexuality. You know, in my case, no worries. You know, I have other situations I need to deal with, not this one. Okay? If I If I leave this group, if I leave whatever I leave, I'm not going to go drugs because I just, this is my conviction. You know, this is not something I would do. This is not something I'm interested in. I don't need to fight about it. You know, I'm totally, absolutely convinced that it's totally stupid and there is absolutely no interest in me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm saying, God, this is my heart. This is my DNA. There I am like God. Not only that I don't do drugs, I don't think drugs, I don't desire drugs.
Yes.
I am not tempted by drugs. Amen.
Yes.
I go to a restaurant, I'm looking forward to have a lunch, and if they are smoking there, unless I have to be there for a reason, I go back. I'm not interested.
Yes.
Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is the way we ought to be. I've got other areas where I don't do this, but I think it. And it's also my DNA.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know it's good. I know it's good that we don't commit certain things, but it's not sufficient. That's not what God called us to do. God didn't call us to be inside the old nature, the old DNA, to have the old heart, only to have certain barriers for some reasons that we don't go and don't commit certain things. A, because there might come a situation where the barriers will not be there. Sooner or later. It can come with an age. I don't know. It can come with a situation, with an opportunity. It can come with temptation. It can come with whatever you have. I don't know. Or am I the only one who is worried and afraid and thinking, God, I need to make sure that something changes inside.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
That something in me clicks, that I get the understanding, that I get a conviction. That my conviction is, God, this is not right. God, this is killing me. My diet is changing last 20 years. My wife and some other people would say slowly, but I would say surely. If you look at very typical Czech food or Moravian food, especially our previous generation, very typical, what would be a typical snack? You go to the forest, you take a piece of bread, I mean Czech bread, the real stuff, okay? And you put on it, how do you call it, pork fat?
Lard.
Lard. Okay, I don't know what the word is, but if they would put a percentage of fat on it, it would be 100%. It's nothing but fat, okay? And you just don't spread it on it like butter. You add it about the same size of the bread.
Wow.
You know, and you see Pavcha, how she goes, and then like pork knee, yummy. You know, it's on your table, and you touch the plate, and it shakes. You know, and things like this, isn't it so? Those who have traveled, especially years back to our country, you know what we are talking about. Well, these people, they went to the forest and they are chopping the wood all day long in a freezing weather so they can afford it. Now we sit in the car and behind the computer and it will kill us. Okay, the problem is, now I'm supposed to eat broccoli. Okay? I'm supposed to eat all the other things. But now my taste is for lard. My reason, and some people around me, close to me now, are suggesting broccoli. Okay. My problem is, I kind of mentally agree with it, but my heart is somewhere else. You know? And for me...
I'm with you, brother.
You're with me.
Yeah, with you.
You know, the problem is, desiring lard and eating broccoli is form of hell to me. It's form of hell. Torment. That's not the way God meant it. You know what I mean? So you say, all right, so the solution is lard. No, it is not, because it will kill us. It really will. The facts are true. You know, you read the books, you read the situation, and you look at it, and it's true. So the solution is not to go back to the old sin, not go back to the old stuff, but the solution is to say, God, I need you to do something in me that I would like broccoli. I'm half there. You know, my wife would be a witness. Lard? No, actually, I'm not really interested. Maybe once in a few years, just taste a little bit to remember, you know. But no, I wouldn't eat it. It's not something that that I desire anymore. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it did. Yes. You know, and I do like broccoli, actually. It is. Especially when you fix it in a certain way.
Cheese sauce.
A lot of butter.
Well, I think the way to eat broccoli is to have a big side dish of a steak. But anyway, the idea, the concept is that I believe God is changing something in me. And He's changing my taste. And I say, thank you, Lord. Because it would be a torment to desire something and do something else. That's not what God had in mind. There is a season where you are overcoming. It's a season where in you, in your heart, you still desire the old stuff. But because of your thinking and beliefs and hearing the word, you are doing something else. But it cannot stay there. It cannot stay there. It's not sufficient. That's not the ultimate goal. Amen? So, the food was just an example. But the other convictions, raising kids, what do we believe? You know, sometimes I see, we talk about this, and then I observe certain people, and I say, I don't think they really believe it. I don't think they believe certain things we preach, we are teaching. I think in them, it's like, yeah, because I'm part of the crowd, I will do, at least in the midst of the people. But then when I'm at home, I don't really believe it. I don't believe it's selfish. The child is not selfish. He's just poor little thing needing attention. You know, it's tired, hungry, and whatever all the other things are. We don't believe it. Because when I got this conviction, and there are certain things I do believe, and they are so easy for me.
Yeah.
You know, to deal with certain things in my kids, it takes no effort. I don't need to worry. I don't struggle whether I love the child. I know I love the child. You know, and just because I love the child, I do what I need to do. And whether it's spend time and pray, whether I need to hug, whether I need to spank, I don't know what it is, but it's out of my conviction and it became easy. Mm-hmm. You know, in a certain way, I would say raising up children is easy if you have your convictions right.
Yeah.
If you don't have your convictions right and you still struggle and you still wonder, is it really this way? Should we? Shouldn't we? You know, with my first child, it was difficult. Because am I not hurting the child by demanding to eat broccoli? You know, and the child was very good in, you know, being able to do all these tricks and trying to vomit and trying to do this, and you thought it's going to faint and all the other things, and you are hurting the personality, you're breaking the spirit and all the other things. Have you heard those?
Yeah.
You know, now I'm totally 100% convicted. You know, I'm most willing to break the personality, break the spirit, and thou shalt eat broccoli. You know. You know what I mean? And not only it's easy for me, it's much easier for the children. Mm-hmm. They know that is not negotiating.
Amen.
You know, because I know it's not hurting them. I know it's blessing them. I already see some fruit of it. And I'm 150% convicted about certain things, and it became easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My heart changed. Something changed in the core of me. Something changed in my DNA. I have conviction now. You see people who are not with us anymore, And you observe the children after a while. And I say, my goodness, they dropped it all. Why? They dropped it all. They dropped it all. Sorry, my accent. You know, they dropped it all. Did they believe it? You know, I do homeschooling. I do homeschooling not because we were told, not because it's affectionate, not because it's part of, you know, not everybody is doing homeschooling in our fellowship. You know what I mean? I am a firm believer in this. Not only believer in homeschooling, I am believer in education centered around the purpose we have in God. You know, I'm a firm believer of it. Because what do you want to achieve? So, what I'm trying to say, I don't know if I'm getting to the point, but the idea is, we've got a heart, and from the heart, is the source, even for the soul. This is our beliefs, our convictions. This is our makeup, who we are. And every thought is generated in the heart. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
I have some notes. Thank you for those. Let's there's a scripture. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts.
Okay.
Out of the heart. 15:19 it is. 15:19 Matthew. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. I was thinking and saying, Lord, I have some evil thoughts. Where are they coming from? They are from the heart. Because there's still something wrong with my heart. My heart is partially new and partially old. You know, my heart is still the Adamic nature. You know, and something must be done with my heart. Because, look at this. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. We also can read in Jeremiah 17:9. That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So whose heart is it talking about? Jeremiah's? Mine? Your? Okay. So I look at this and the heart is deceitful. You know what is the deceitfulness or the deceit of heart? The biggest thing the heart is deceiving me with is suggesting that the wrong thoughts will not lead to death. Because the devil, I mean, let's start with God. God says, you've got all the fruit to eat. He is not limiting us. God is not bad God. He's saying, you've got all this fruit. There's one tree. Thou shalt not eat. Because the day you eat from it, you'll die. And this is what God is saying about sin. This is what God is saying about lard. Yes. You eat it long term, you make it your diet, you will die.
Yes.
Physically only, which is not the biggest deal, but still, it's a waste, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, but we don't believe it. Because the devil is coming and saying, come on, surely you will not die. You will not die. It's not a big deal, it's not a big hurt. And you know, this is how my heart is deceiving me. There comes a thought. You know, there comes a thought. Mm-hmm. And God says in the Word of God, it's a sin. And it generates death. My heart, inspired by the devil, is saying, oh, well, it's not as big deal. You know, you're man. You're human. You know, you're human. This is common, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, everybody does, you know, have to battle thoughts like this, and, you know, and situations, and you're bombarded, and, you know, and, I mean, yeah, it's not bad, you have to deal with it, but kind of, you know, no rush, and, you know, don't take it too serious, and you can dwell there for a moment. Is it just me?
Yeah.
Is it just my heart deceiving? Is it just my heart suggesting that actually I will not die?
Yes, it is.
You know, I will not die, I will not, you know, it's, and then it kind of leads to, you know, suggesting things, and like Eve was then looking from a different perspective at the tree and at the fruit. It now looks good. It's appealing to sight and the idea of knowing things, and you know, well, I can be like everybody else and can come to know a few things, you know what I mean? But eventually they did die. And I said, Lord, I need to see, you know, one thing I did. You know what I did with lard and broccoli? I put some effort into reading about it. You know, I just said, well, I mean, a little bit investigate, and you read a little bit here, a little bit there, and somebody sends you a little article here and there, and it started to change my convictions. You know what I mean? Like, if you asked me a few years back, what do I think about running? Jogging, what a waste of time, you know. The only problem is God knocked on my heart, on my shoulder one day, and he said, move or die.
Oh.
Move or die.
Wow.
And then what options you have. You know, so I kind of opted for moving. It didn't change immediately my desire for it. You know, I'm still only half there. It's easier than it was for me. I start with a fear. You know, I said, well, I don't know what God is having in mind. He must be seeing something I'm not seeing, health-wise. Okay? But I believe him. But it needs to, and it's slowly shifting and coming into, you know, into my conviction. And I do believe. And I start to believe more and more that if I don't do something like moving, it's my problem, maybe not yours, okay? But if I don't do something, if I don't put certain effort into this, eventually it'll kill me. It'll disable me from traveling. It'll disable me from doing certain things. It'll disable me from being available for God. It'll disable me from sitting long time. It'll disable me from being on a plane. It'll disable me from carrying things and helping and caring children and grandchildren and all the other things. You know what I mean? I more and more believe it. It's more and more my conviction. So I don't need to do it just to please my wife, just to please my doctor, if I had any, if you know, just to please you or whatever. I do it because it's my conviction. I believe that if I don't move, the end result is some form of death.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's for me. I don't know if it applies to you, but it does to me. So, I'm saying, God, I need to understand that here is my change. You know, I don't have black, but imagine this is black. Here, I would have Klusen. What we believe as a family. Not me only, but my mother. My father, I suppose, if I knew him. And I would have, like, Czech. This is who we are. And this is what is forming my concept of beliefs. My convictions, my traditions, my habits. You know what I mean? And now, this is the source of my emotions. Do you think Germans have a different way of expressing emotions than the Nigerians?
Yes.
Of course. I took a little bit too extremes. Jokes are saying no. I'll pray for you, brother. So, as a nature, You know, and of course, your family heritage can overcome your nation heritage, whatever, you know. And but the concept is, this is something that tells you how to think, how to have emotions, what to desire, you know. What are, what is your will, how you, you know, what do you want? And then, the problem is that we hold it precious.
Yes.
Because that's what we are. You know, and then we compare. You know, we are not so emotional and we think it's right. They are so emotional and we think it's wrong, and vice versa. You know what I mean? There are certain things that are common for me, and I don't even realize that they are wrong, and I have hard time to deal with it, because how it goes from the soul, and it goes to you know. That's what you see on the outside, okay? And here, there's a lust here, for example. The lust goes to, help me, sin, and the sin goes to death. In other words, when I commit, and when I do the thing, whatever it is, let's say I eat something wrong, it's committing, it's causing certain part of death in my life, isn't it? So, what we do, we try somehow to work with a sin. No, this is where we put our effort. And in a way, it's good. We need to fight against the sin. We need to deal with the sin. But we forget about the source of it. And that's the lust. We need to go to God and say, God, I need you to help me to deal, use the blood. No, I don't want to do hard. I want to do just, this way. I need a drop of blood. I need you to do something with my heart. I need you to remove the lust. I need you to remove the desire. I need you to remove the nature of mine. I need you to erase my familiar spirits. I need you to change my heart. And it's difficult because it's me. You know, it's difficult because you don't see it. It's just between me and God. But recently I'm more and more focusing to go inside. I'm sick of certain thoughts. I'm sick of certain thinking. I'm sick of it. And I'm saying, God, I know, I've traveled, you know, the last 25 years, I've traveled the journey, and I've dealt with so many things. Yet, I say, God, I'm not there. I want to live a life free, not only of doing things, but free of thinking, free of lusts, free of wrong desires, free of wrong concepts. You know what I'm saying? And I believe it's possible.
Amen.
I believe in Christ it's not only possible, but it's desirable. I believe that's the calling we have. You know, so here is in the heart where we need to focus as well. We need to go there, and let's talk in a minute how, and we need to replace it. How do we do this? I need to have the nature of God. I need to have my heart transplanted, because my heart is wicked and I cannot do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? It's the core of my being. So One of my steps to overcome was to admit it.
Hallelujah.
You know, one of the problems with the Pharisees was that they were outwardly holy compared to, you know, to the poor people who were obviously committing sins. You know what I'm saying? For them, it was easier to repent because it was obvious that they were sinners. For the Pharisees, it means for the people who are in the environment, maybe brought in a good home or whatever it is, they were not committing any of these obvious sins. It was difficult for them to admit that they are sinners. That they are corrupted in their nature. You know what I'm saying? So I go to God and say, God, I'm not going to pretend I give up. I am, by definition, by the heart I have inherited, I'm an evil person. It's not easy to say, you know, because you try to say, well, I am a good person, sometimes doing evil things. No. You're not a good person, sometimes doing evil things. Your nature you have inherited is evil.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's self-centered, it's selfish. It's not ready to die for others. You want others to die for you. This is you. If you don't hold yourself like the child is very honest, being baby, it cries, it doesn't care, you know. You don't have a baby, you know, it feels hungry or have a bellyache, it looks at the time and says, ooh, it's 2 a.m, well, let's wait in the morning and don't wake up mommy. No, it doesn't care. I don't care about what's the time, I want now you to satisfy me. This is the nature. If you don't deal with it, we are only covering it, but we still think the same. You know, at least I do. Sometimes, you know, I'm treating my wife in a certain way, we are talking, and I'm thinking. And I'm saying, well, is this God? Is this right? Is it, you know? And I'm not talking about something very bad, you know, or bad or harsh or nothing like this. But I'm thinking, Lord, is this the way you would deal with it? Is it kind enough? Am I wanting her to make this step? Or am I willing to make the step? You know, what is my thinking? And I realize sometimes it's selfish. It's me. You know, this is the nature of me. I prefer her to do the extra mile. You know, serve me. And I have all the theological reasons for it. Because I'm the man, I'm the head of the house, you know. So, and I'm thinking about it, and then... Then I'm praying, and I was, God woke me up, I don't know why, 4 a.m. this morning, and I didn't sleep since. And I'm sitting there in the living room, and I'm praying, and big part of it, I'm saying, Lord, I don't have it in me. You know, I don't have it in me, I haven't inherited it. My nature, my closer nature, my family nature, is not the one of sacrificing. And I said, God, I cannot be a better husband unless you do something with my heart. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. And don't get me wrong. They will try to tell you I'm a good father and good husband, you know. But I'm just saying, Lord, I desire to be like you.
Yeah.
In every thought.
Yeah.
In every aspect. I desire to totally change my way of dealing with other people. Because, brethren, I don't know what is your standard. Are we going to be satisfied being good church members? We look like good family, don't we? You know, and in a way we are. I love my wife dearly and love my kids, and we have great relationships, and you know, it's sweet and all this. Yes, it is. Yet, however, you know, these certain responses, these certain little things that they are there, that maybe you don't see, because when we would be in the church, we, you know, are more making sure that nothing is seen. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And I'm not arguing with my wife. Don't get me wrong. I'm not fighting with my wife. Nothing like this. Nothing close to it. Okay? Yet, I know what I'm talking about. You know, there is a certain nature, a certain way my family would be thinking and behaving. And I find it there. And I'm saying, God, I believe this word. Part of this word is that you would change the very nature of me. I don't want to be Czech anymore. I don't want to be Klusen anymore. I don't want to be like my mother. And you know what? It's maybe difficult when you walked. When you are shortly saved. Or is it shortly saved? No, I mean early saved. Or newly saved. Thank you. When you are newly saved, it's easy to admit wrongs, isn't it? Yeah, because it's kind of part of the game that I've been sinner and now I'm being born again and I'm still sinning. But then after a while, you walk, and now it's difficult to admit, to come to my wife and say, honey, you know, I know we've been together for 20 years, but I'm realizing I'm a bad husband. I'm actually, you know, you were right. The way I responded to you, it was too harsh. Yes, you're right. I might have been in a real need of something, hand me something, but it was harsh. It's difficult because I'm supposed to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be there, and now it's difficult. You know, pray for me because I'm a bad husband. Pray for me because I struggle with thoughts in my mind. And pray for me because I'm lazy. Pray for me because I'm selfish. Well, we need to overcome this. And we need to come to the Lord and admit our nature. We cannot hide it. And if we can, we should admit it to our spouses. We should admit it to our brother. If you pray with me. I realize I'm lazy. Pray with me. I, you know, you asked me to do this. And I said yes. But in my heart I said, you know, why bother? Come on, Mark. Can't you do it yourself? Come on. You know. And then I would say, you know, Mark, if he's called brother elder, you know, you don't go around and tell everybody. But, you know, I said, Mark, I just want to tell you what my heart was really thinking. And I'm very embarrassed. And but I've got a problem, you know, and I need you to pray with me, especially if it's husband and wife. You know, I do admit these things. Do come, pray together. And when somebody comes to you and discloses you his problem and heart, don't go, oh, really? I thought so. Oh, not you. You know, that doesn't help because they would have a hard time to come again. It's like with the children. When the child comes and admits, I've got this problem, you're not there to say, how dare you? You know, say, oh yeah, honey. Okay, let's go to the Bible. Let's see how things are. And by the way, I'm sorry because part of it is my fault. Being, you know, part of your inheritance. So let's fast together. Let's pray together. I'll help you. Pray together. But do admit these things. Do come and say, I know I should have been somewhere else after these years, but I still struggle with selfishness. I still struggle with lust. I still struggle with pride. I still struggle with these things. You know, let's go to the core. Let's not have it on surface. Let's ask God, do something with my heart. And I was praying, said, God, okay, I see the condition of my heart. And I can read scriptures. You can read from Hebrews about hardened hearts. You can read from Genesis that the heart was only evil continually. You can go from Jeremiah, we already did it, or Matthew 50:19. And you see the condition of the heart. And I see that I need some solution. I need God to do something with my heart. And I'm asking the Lord. I understand my heart is the source of my thoughts, the source of my troubles. What is there? And God showed me three things that He is able to do with the heart. And one is circumcise the heart.
Yes.
Bible very clearly speaks about circumcision of a heart. And by the way, if you look at circumcision in the natural, it is a weird thing, isn't it? You know, sometimes you look at things in the Bible and you're thinking about God and say, God, I mean, circumcision. You know, what for? I mean, why this way? You know, how, I mean, declaration that I belong to you in this way? So I was thinking about it. Maybe I'm the only one. And but you know, I notice, and I see in Africa and other nations, they try to have a declaration of belonging. And I've seen faces cut. You know, they have little marks, and they wear things. You know what I mean? But everything is outwardly. Yeah. You don't have something hidden. But God says, I also want to have a mark, but I'm not interested in having something on a forehead or cut here or cut there or whatever. I want to go to the very hidden part. There's nothing that can be more or should be more hidden. You know what I mean? So God says, if I'm going to circumcise, I want to find the very hidden, the very private, the very intimate part. In other words, I want to go inside. You know? And circumcision, the idea is, take a heart. And we need to circumcise heart. How would you physically circumcise heart? You would take a heart, you would take a knife, and you would cut some part of it away. Okay? With heart, it's unimaginable, but let's think in spirit. So, the circumcision for me is, God, there is something in my heart that doesn't belong there. God, I need you to take your knife and I need you to circumcise my heart. We are in the New Testament, so we don't believe there is necessity or it's not necessary to circumcise the body anymore. But definitely, it is necessary to circumcise the heart. And it might be a painful process because there's something in your heart that you desire and like. And this is the deception about sin. There's something we like on it.
Yes, right.
It gives you a certain pleasure. It gives you a certain comfort. It gives you something what you are desiring. You are longing for. The sin offers it. The lard offers it, if you want. You know what I mean? The broccoli doesn't.
Yes.
In the beginning, at least. But, so the problem is, I say, God, I need you to cut it away. I need you to cut it away. I'm willingly putting it on the altar. I am asking God, remove it. It's part of me. It's what I am. It's what I like. But I pray, God, remove it. And I'm giving up the pleasure that I'm receiving from this part of heart that is wicked, is wrong, is deceiving me. But I am desiring and say, God, circumcise me. Circumcise my heart. Amen. By the way, the scripture clearly says that you cannot even enter the tabernacle if you are not circumcised. It says, where is it? It's in Ezekiel 44, verse 7. In that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh. Or if you go to verse 9, thus says the Lord God, no stranger uncircumcised in heart. This is Old Testament, by the way. Uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary. You cannot enter into the sanctuary, you cannot enter into the holy place if your heart is not circumcised. It's not only about what we are doing, but it's about who we are. We need to ask God to cut off certain part of our desires, certain part of our nature, certain part of things we like, certain part of things we are. Amen? Because we cannot move on. I mean, the pressure between who you are and what you do will be so great, you will not maintain it. This is walking under a law. If you don't allow God to circumcise your heart, if your heart is the old heart, and you are doing things because you should be doing them, it creates tension in you. It's law. You're walking under a law. You don't believe it. It's like tension. You know, it's like the tension you might have at home with the children. When they are little, You don't see it and you can control it. But when they grow, there's bigger and bigger tension. If the convictions are not there and you are forcing them to do certain things, the tension is great and it results in an explosion. Doesn't it?
Amen.
If we don't handle it properly, if the conviction is not there, we've got a difficult job. How do you deal? You know, it's easy for us because the children share the convictions. At least most of it. So the pressure, the tension is rather small. You know, and I'm very glad because it's a tough job. Well, what do you do if the situation is different? How do you force the child to do right when the conviction is not there? You are creating tension. Should you? Shouldn't you? It's difficult, isn't it? You know, it's difficult, and I'm telling you, parents who still have the ability to do something about the conviction of your children, don't deal with them in a way that you are telling them what to do. You are part of my house, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt obey, and this, and this, and this. And we think this is it. It's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. It may be sufficient for a certain age, but the time will come, unless you have given them convictions, it will explode and they will break away. At least this is a thing I've been believing, and this is the thing we are trying to, you know, you just don't tell the kids, don't do this. You have to find a time to sit down and explain them.
Right.
You have to repent and say, I'm sorry, honey. I might have done mistakes. I've done this wrong. I've done this wrong. But I need to explain you why. I believe the consequence of this particular behavior is death. I believe this is religion, not life. That's why I am doing this. I will disclose you my heart. I will repent to you. I will show you my battle, that you understand it. I will show you the stories of people who went in your steps and where they ended up. And that's the reason why I am worried. That's the reason why I'm saying thou shalt not go there. I've got the reason.
Amen.
I'm not saying because I don't like you, the very opposite. And please forgive me if I'm not a good father. Forgive me if I'm not able to convey it in a better way. Pray for me, help me. But I've got a reason. And I would like to have the same conviction. And sometimes we have to give them space to find the convictions. Because there is a tension between what you believe, who you are, and what you do. And if it's in you or in your kids, it doesn't matter. Somewhere along the way, it'll explode, it'll collapse. Unless God changes our heart, unless it's circumcised, unless something changes, you know, you will end up in a worse than before. You know, look at David. And this is the second thing. So circumcision is one thing we can ask God to do. Cut off. God, take a knife. I beg you to do so. Please cut part of my old nature. The second thing is, let's look at David. David is a puzzle, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you see David, and from our Christian perspective, oh my. I mean, is this wife of, what is the English word, Uriah? You know, the wife of Uriah and the whole situation around it. I mean, the one thing was the sin. The other thing, for me even worse, is he was such a coward. You know, he wasn't able to say, oh, you know, sorry Uriah, or something like this. He killed him. Can you imagine somebody in our midst, you know, king or elder? Can you imagine? You know, and he did, and all these things. Why was it? Why, when he knew God, why, when he had all this knowledge and this experience with God, why was he able to do something like this? Tell me. Because of his heart. His heart, he never dealt with his heart in this area. He never knew. In his heart, he was adulterous. In his heart, he was murderer. Physical murderer. You know, I don't believe any of the other things he did when he was fighting. It was no murder. It was killing. It was battle. Okay? But this one was murder. It was pure murder. Okay? He would be sentenced and sitting in a prison in our countries. So David didn't deal with the heart, and it didn't matter how long it took. Eventually, it happened. It was just a question of time. You know what I'm saying? If you don't deal with your heart, if you don't deal with it, you know, it will happen. It will appear. In one form or other form. I don't care what it is. And then, if you look to Psalm 51, I will not read the whole thing, but I really strongly recommend you go and read the whole thing in this context. And look at the different scriptures, how David came to conclusion, I've got a problem with my heart. Finally, after all the years, he realized what his problem is, that his heart is a trouble. And for example, verse 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." I acknowledge. 51. Verse 3.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, the step number one is, I acknowledge that I still have a problem, regardless of being king, regardless of being leading the nation, I still have a problem in my heart. So acknowledge my transgression. And this is something I'm asking the Lord. Lord, give me the boldness that I don't, you know, I'm very good in giving things other names. You know, you don't call it so blatantly, you know. But God wants you to come to Him and say, God, I am a murderer. You know, God, I'm adulterer. You know what I mean? God, I'm lazy. You know, God, I am deceiver. When you see these traits in you, go before God. Don't find alternative words. Just tell Him as it is. You know, God, I am a deceiver because my mother was a deceiver, because my father was a deceiver, because of this. God, I am arrogant. Ooh. You know, not arrogant, sorry. No, don't say arrogant. Say, I am sometimes a little bit too strong. That sounds better. Or, I am maybe, give me some other.
Right.
Yes. So, you know, don't go around this and just say, I am arrogant. I am selfish. God, it was so selfish of me. You know, God, I was lazy. God, I was insensitive. I think bad thoughts. Lord, I was prideful. Lord, I was not able to admit the situation. Lord, I was covered. Covered, is it a good word? Coward. Okay, coward, not covered. Coward. Okay? And you come to God and say, Lord, I'm a coward. You don't like to say these things, do you? But I believe this is part of our deliverance. And David is saying, I acknowledged my transgressions. And here he says, behold, in verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts.
Hallelujah.
And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So David understood and said, God, thou desirest the truth in the inward part. Not only did I behave in a certain king way, but you desire truth in my inward part. You desire that what I am outside is the same thing as I'm thinking, and is the same thing as I'm desiring in my heart. You desire this to be equal and righteous. You are interested, Lord, in my thoughts. Not just in what I do, but you are very interested in my thoughts because they will eventually surface and bring the death and destruction to me and others. Hallelujah. And then he goes and prays this famous prayer, which we have as a song. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In other words, I'm acknowledging and saying, God, I've got a problem there in my heart, and I need a transplant of a heart. Create in me a new heart. Create in me a new nature. Create in me a new DNA. Do something, replace it. You know, it's a prayer, it's not a song. And by the way, sometimes when we are singing these songs, and whatever it is, do you know what our problem is? We don't relate to these words. You know, sometimes we are carried away. We are in church. Forgive me. And this is not here. I'm not talking here necessarily. But the problem is, we go and we would sing the song and we are not singing about ourselves. We are not singing about something we would like to tell God. Created me a clean heart. I know the melody is different. But anyway, you know, you might be singing. And sometimes I'm standing there and I said, we don't believe this. We don't believe what we are singing. We don't believe what we are singing because we don't know what we are singing. Create in me a clean heart. Do we know what we are singing? We are begging God and we are saying, God, we are desperate. God, it's from Psalm 51. God, I am now positioning myself to David's shoes. And I'm saying, God, I've got the problem. I killed the man. It's in my heart. There's envy, there's anger, there's lust in my heart. God, create in me a clean heart. And renew the right spirit within me. I need touch from God. I need touch. I need God to reach with a finger and pull out the old nature. I need God to pull out the Adamic nature as well as my parents' nature.
Amen.
If you are not, I am. And if you are not, pray for me. Create in me a clean heart, God. I cannot go on. I cannot go on unless you change the very who I am. It's not time to pretend. It's not time to make show. I need to go and do business. And by the way, one of the reasons I'm here, I want to do business for myself.
Amen.
I'm here and I'm going to make some decisions. And I don't care that I made the decisions 2 months ago. I'll make some decisions and I'll say, God, I want again to deal with things innerly. Not because of you, because you don't see them. But because of me and because of God. So when we praise and we sing these songs, let's do business.
Amen.
Amen. So David is praying here because he's desperate. He's realizing his trouble. So create in me a clean heart, O God. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. And he's talking about the sacrifices and other things. All the things we could do for God are good. But lay them aside. And first, deal with your heart. Deal with your nature. And I'm not talking about the big sins necessarily, only. Those two. But I'm talking about, you know, the way we are dealing with each other. The way we are willing to hear others, to talk to us about who we are. You are like your mother. Ooh. You are like your father. Ooh. How dare you? Hear it. I beg you. Hear it. Hear it and do something about it. Admit it. Go before God. Be broken. And say, God, change me.
Hallelujah.
Change me. And so there was circumcision as one of the remedies. There was a creation of a new heart. And the third thing, and I'll close with this. I'm sorry for holding you. But the third thing is, God will put the new law into our hearts. You know, the law was originally written on a tablets, right? Was it? Tablets of stone? You know, the other guy, Steve Jobs, believes he invented tablet. No. The law was written on tablets way before Steve Jobs. Okay. Anyway, way. But it's still, you know, it's still outside. It's the law which is outside. That's the law that we receive in our mind. And we know thou shalt not and you shouldn't and all these things. But as we said from the beginning, it's not sufficient, is it? It's not the ultimate goal, is it? This is not what God desires. Like, I don't desire for my own children to obey me only. Yes, I want them to obey me, part of the game. But my ultimate goal is not that they would have different convictions and they would obey me by fear, by power, by strength. You know what I'm saying? Can you relate? Can you agree with me?
Yes.
My desire is that I wouldn't have to tell them. That they would do as they want. You know? They would do as it pleases them. And by the way, it would be exactly what I want them to do. You know what I mean? And in the same way, I believe God wants the same for me. He doesn't want me just to obey Him and think otherwise. Sometimes I obey Him and I don't understand. I say, God, that sounds crazy. But I believe you. You know, my daughter once told me, said, Daddy, you know, I have absolutely no idea why you want me to do this. But it actually is not a problem because I believe you. I know you long enough that you wouldn't want something weird, something strange. So I'm going to obey it, I'm going to do it, and I'm looking forward to see eventually what it was good for. I said, wow. I was very impressed. I was touched, you know. And in the same way, sometimes I obey God and I say, God, I don't know why you're doing this. Honestly, it makes no sense. I'm in full disagreement with you, but I know you know better. So I'm going to do as you said. I'm going to, you know, sometimes you put your money somewhere, or you do this, or you travel there, and you know, you look at your calculations, you look at your bank account, and you look at your time, and you look at your everything else, and it makes no sense. Did God ever ask you to do things that they don't make sense? You know, and you obey and believe. However, my relationship with God is not in a way that I'm just doing things and I have no idea why He wants it. You know, the concept is, and I'm repeating it because it's important. The concept is, Lord, I want you to write the law on my heart.
Yes,
my ultimate goal is, I will do as I please. And it will be the will of God. Do you understand this? It may sound strange. If I say my ultimate goal is I'll do as I please, you might say, no, no, it's not. Yes, it is. Because I want my desire to be God's desires. I want the law to be written inside of me, not outside. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, I will not be eating broccoli because somebody says so. And I should obey. And then I'm at home and I'll stuff myself with everything else but broccoli. I want to be eating broccoli when I'm alone. Because I like it and because I'm convinced it's a good idea.
Hi.
I want to be thinking clean thoughts. Not because of others. When there is nobody else. Because it's a law written on my heart. You know, God can put the law inside of me,
yes.
Not outside.
Right.
He can take it, He can write it there, and I said, okay, God, how can I help you? What can I do for it? Because it's God can, God will, you know, what is my job in it? And God says, don't harden your heart. If you harden your heart, I cannot write on it. If you are stiff-necked, you know what stiff-necked is, right?
Yes.
You know? You tell, once in our fellowship, I called my son and I said, play stiff-necked. And, you know, I tried to bend his, and he wouldn't. He was good in it, you know. Yeah, so stiff-neck is this resistance, this, I will not submit.
Sure.
But God is saying, be soft. Be pliable, is it a good word?
Yes.
Be pliable. Allow God allow God to come and convict you. Because we can harden our hearts in a way that the word comes and it doesn't do anything with us. It doesn't touch us. It doesn't, in a good sense, bring tear to our eyes. It doesn't bring us to our knees. It doesn't do, you know, because we have heard and seen and observed and, you know, and when is it over? And I said, God, please, I want to be a soft heart. And I pray that you would make my heart soft, that you would replace the stony heart with a flesh heart that allows you to inscribe, is a good word, inscribe? To inscribe the word, the law on my heart. That it's not only from outside. Let me give you a few scriptures and close there. If you want to write it down, it's in Hebrews 8:10. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them God, and they shall be to me a people." The same is from Jeremiah 31, verses 31, 32, 33, and 34. Here it says, at the end of 33, it says, "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." We are talking about inside again. "And will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me." Amen. I take this scripture, by the way, and I use it for my dealing with my children. My ultimate goal is that he will put the law in their inward parts and write it upon their hearts. That's my prayer. "And I shall teach them no more, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know the Lord for themselves."
That's right.
That's at least my desire. You know. And in Proverbs 4:21, it says, 20 and 21, and it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." So you can have midst of your heart and the word there. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." If you want to be healthy, by the way, take the word of God and hide it in the midst of your heart. And let me close with this last scripture, which is very famous, in Psalm 119 and verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." I will close with a prayer, if you allow me. A prayer for myself, as I need it. And if you agree with me, you can take it as a prayer for you as well.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for your word, because you are not only showing us what the heart is, but you are showing us the condition of the heart. And you are not only showing us the condition, how desperately wicked it is, that we have inherited a heart from Adam as well as our ancestors. You have shown us that we have a DNA we need to deal with. We have a makeup, which is from our previous generations, which we don't like. You are not only showing us, Lord, what is the consequence of this heart, that unless we deal with it, the lust in the heart will cause us to commit sin, and the sin, when finished, it will bring death to our life. Different forms of death, O Lord, as we can observe. But Lord, you are giving us remedy. I pray that you will circumcise my heart, O Lord.
Amen.
Circumcise it. I give you full right to do it. Use any means and cut off things that are there and they shouldn't be. even if they bring some pleasure to me,
hallelujah,
at least seemingly. Circumcise my heart that I can enter in the sanctuary.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray together with David, create in me a clean heart, Lord.
Yes,
I admit and confess my transgressions. Lord, create in me a new heart. I need a new heart. I don't need to patch it. I need to have it replaced, healed, changed. My God, and I pray that you would replace any hard part, any stony part of my heart, and give flesh there. I want to be sensitive. I want to be able to be convicted. I want to be able to hear your word and hear it in me, that it would move me and it would cause me to allow you to write the law on my heart.
Hallelujah.
That is not just outside, it's not just that I should be doing it because somebody says so, but it'll be in my heart. It'll be part of me, it'll be me. It'll be the new me. And actually, it'll be you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray for myself, and I do mean it. I'm in need of touch. I'm in the need of surgery. And Lord, I do believe I'm not praying just for me. I believe I'm praying for my brethren too.
Thank you.
Lord, don't allow us to leave this conference. Don't allow us to leave this place.
Amen.
Without having dealt with the inner, the most inner, the secret parts of our being. We want to change. And I thank you, Lord, that you have the means to allow us so. Be blessed your name above every name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.